1. Listening comprehension. Section A. Directions. In Section A, you will hear 10 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. The conversations and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a conversation and the question about it, read the 4 possible answers on your paper.And decide which one is the best answer to the question you have heard. Section A. 1. What seems to be the problem? How long have you had these symptoms?
Well, I have a sore throat about 3 days now, and I'm really tired too.
Question. What is the man?
2.I think this vase made of china is really gorgeous, but the price is a bit too high.
Don't worry. Take your time and you will get something that is really a bargain.
Question. Where does the conversation probably take place? 3. The rent for car is $40 a day and $250 a week. How long do you want to keep it?
5 days, please.
Question. How much should the man pay for the rent? 4. Sorry, I'm stuck in traffic on the M30. I've been here for 30 minutes. I'm not sure if there's been an accident or if there are roadworks up ahead.
Don't worry, John. Simon Jenkins is also running late. His flight has been delayed by 45 minutes.
Question.Why is John running late?
5. Hey, are you okay? Tell me that you either have a cold or flu.
Neither. It is just that I can't stand this smell of paint in the bedroom.
Question. What's the matter with the woman?
6. What's the weather forecast for today?I wonder whether there would be enough snow for skiing.
The weatherman says we will have a cold spell before the end of this week.
Question. What can be learned from the conversation? 7. Angela, don't move. Stand straight. This will be a good shoot. The background is great.
Hold in a second. I want to get my hair fixed.
Question. What are the speakers doing?8. Dexter, would you be kind enough to help me finish my project?
I would be glad if I didn't have so much on my plate.
Question. What does the man imply?
9. I've got a variety of flavors for you to choose from. Come on, it doesn't really hurt to have just a bite.
I'd better not. I am on a diet now. Please don't tempt me. Please.
Question. What does the woman mean? 10. You haven't gotten a raise for 3 years now. What are the chances of it this year?
Chances are slim.
Question. What can be learned from the conversation?Section B. Directions. In Section B, you will hear 2 short passages and 1 longer conversation, and you will be asked several questions on each of the passages and the conversation. The passages and the conversation will be read twice, but the questions will be spoken only once. When you hear a question, read the 4 possible answers on your paper and decide which one would be the best answer to the question you have heard.
Questions 11 through 13 are based on the following passage. Community service is an important component of education here at our university. We encourage all students to volunteer for at least 1 community activity before they graduate. A new community program called One-on-One helps elementary students who've fallen behind. You might be especially interested in it because it offers the opportunity to do some teaching, that is, tutoring in math and English. You'd have to volunteer 2 hours a week for one semester. You can choose to help a child with math, English, or both. Half-hour lessons are fine, so you could do a half-hour of each subject 2 days a week. Professor Dodge will act as a mentor to the tutors. He'll be available to help you with lesson plans or to offer suggestions for activities. He has office hours every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. You can sign up for the program with him and begin the tutoring next week. I'm sure you'll enjoy this community service, and you'll gain valuable experience at the same time. It looks good on your resume too, showing that you've had experience with children and that you care about your community. If you'd like to sign up, or if you have any questions, stop by Professor Dodge's office this week. Community service is an important component of education here at our university. We encourage all students to volunteer for at least one community activity before they graduate. A new community program called One-on-One helps elementary students who've fallen behind. You might be especially interested in it because it offers the opportunity to do some teaching, that is, tutoring in math and English. You'd have to volunteer 2 hours a week for one semester. You can choose to help a child with math, English, or both. Half-hour lessons are fine, so you could do a half-hour of each subject 2 days a week. Professor Dodge will act as a mentor to the tutors. He'll be available to help you with lesson plans or to offer suggestions for activities. He has office hours every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. You can sign up for the program with him and begin the tutoring next week. I'm sure you'll enjoy this community service, and you'll gain valuable experience at the same time. It looks good on your resume too, showing that you've had experience with children and that you care about your community. If you'd like to sign up, or if you have any questions, stop by Professor Dodge's office this week. Questions 11. Who is Professor Dodge?
12. What is the program mentioned in the passage?
13. Which of the following statements is true according to the passage?
Questions 14 through 16 are based on the following passage. How to best extend the life of batteries has been a prime topic since Apple disclosed last month that it was slowing down iPhones with degraded batteries to prevent the devices from shutting down unexpectedly. Cadix, a company that offers devices that test smartphone batteries, offers a lot of information on batteries that powers smartphones. It turns out that if you want to delay having to replace your battery or buy a new phone, there are specific percentage levels within which you should keep your phone's battery. Here's how to, and not to, charge your phone. The best way to charge your phone is a little at a time, whenever you have a chance. Just plug it in whenever you can, even if it's for a few minutes. And you'll be fine. Partial charges cause no harm, according to Battery University. Don't fully discharge your phone before plugging it in. Battery University says that so-called deep discharges, when you use your phone until only a small portion of the battery life is left, wear down batteries. Try to keep your battery's charge level between 65 and 75%. According to Battery University, the battery in your smartphone will last longest if you keep it 65% to 75% charged at all times. Clearly, it's impractical to always keep your phone charged between those levels but at least you know what's ideal. The second best charge range for batteries inside smartphones is 45 to 75%, probably a lot more realistic for most people on a day-to-day basis than 65 to 75%. You could even develop a daily routine to plug in your phone at particular times to keep its charge within those levels. Never fully charge your battery, and particularly not from a low charge level. Charging your phone's battery to 100% from a low 25% can reduce its capacity and shorten its lifespan. You probably shouldn't charge your phone overnight. I've seen a lot of debate about the effects of charging your smartphone overnight, but if charging to 100% causes the most damage to a phone's battery lifespan, you should probably cut it out. How to best extend the life of batteries has been a prime topic since Apple disclosed last month that it was slowing down iPhones with degraded batteries to prevent the devices from shutting down unexpectedly. Cadix, a company that offers devices that test smartphone batteries, offers a lot of information on batteries that powers smartphones. It turns out that if you want to delay having to replace your battery or buy a new phone, there are specific percentage levels within which you should keep your phone's battery. Here's how to, and not to, charge your phone. The best way to charge your phone is a little at a time, whenever you have a chance. Just plug it in whenever you can, even if it's for a few minutes. And you'll be fine. Partial charges cause no harm, according to Battery University. Don't fully discharge your phone before plugging it in. Battery University says that so-called deep discharges, when you use your phone until only a small portion of the battery life is left, wear down batteries. Try to keep your battery's charge level between 65 and 75%. According to Battery University, the battery in your smartphone will last longest if you keep it 65% to 75% charged at all times. Clearly, it's impractical to always keep your phone charged between those levels, but at least you know what's ideal. The second best charge range for batteries inside smartphones is 45 to 75%, probably a lot more realistic for most people on a day-to-day basis than 65 to 75%. You could even develop a daily routine to plug in your phone at particular times to keep its charge within those levels. Never fully charge your battery, and particularly not from a low charge level. Charging your phone's battery to 100% from a low 25% can reduce its capacity and shorten its lifespan. You probably shouldn't charge your phone overnight. I've seen a lot of debate about the effects of charging your smartphone overnight, but if charging to 100% causes the most damage to a phone's battery lifespan, you should probably cut it out. Questions. 14. What is Cadix?
15. What is the best charge level?
16. How to help extend the lifespan of your cell phone battery?
Questions 17 through 20 are based on the following dialogue.
Hi, I bought this book at the beginning of the semester, but something's come up and I'd like to return it.
Well, for a full refund, store policy is that you have to return merchandise 2 weeks from the time it was purchased. But for assigned textbooks or anything having to do with specific courses. Wait, was it for a specific course?
Yeah, but actually...
Well, for course books, the deadline is 4 weeks after the beginning of the semester, So this, for this fall semester, the deadline was October 1st.
Ouch, then I missed it. But why October 1st?
Well, I guess the reasoning is the October 1st. The semester is in full gear, and everyone knows what courses they'll be taking that semester.
I get it. So it's mainly for people who decide to withdraw from... to change to new courses early on.
Exactly! The book has to be in perfect condition, of course. They can't be marked up or looked use in any way for the full refund. I mean...
Well, but, see, my situation is a little different. I hope you might be able to make an exception.
Well, the policies are generally pretty rigid and the semester is almost over.
Okay, here's what happened. I think my professor really miscalculated. Anyway, the syllabus was way too ambitious in my opinion. There are only 2 weeks of classes left in the semester, and there are like 6 books on the syllabus that we haven't even touched.
I see. So you were hoping to return this one?
Yeah. The professor already announced that we won't be reading this one by Jane Bowles and all the others I bought used.
Jane Bowles? Which book of hers?
It's called Two Serious Ladies.
Oh, but you should keep that one. Are you interested in literature?
Well, I am an English major.
You are lucky to have a professor who includes a lesser-known writer like her on the syllabus. You know, not the usual authors we've all read.
So you really think...
I do, and especially if you're into literature.
Well, this I wasn't expecting. I mean, wow!
I hope you don't think I'm being pushy. If you prefer, you can return the book and arrange for a store credit. You don't qualify for a refund. Policy is policy after all, but you can make an exchange and you can use the credit for your books for next semester. The credit carries over for one semester to the next.
That's good to know. But now I'm really interested. I guess that just because we ran out of time to read this book in class doesn't mean that I can't read it in my own time. You know, I think I'll give it a try. Hi, I bought this book at the beginning of the semester, but something's come up and I'd like to return it.
Well, for a full refund, store policy is that you have to return merchandise 2 weeks from the time it was purchased. But for assigned textbooks or anything having to do with specific courses. Wait, was it for a specific course?
Yeah, but actually...
Well, for course books, the deadline is 4 weeks after the beginning of the semester. So this, for this fall semester, the deadline was October 1st.
Ouch, then I missed it. But why October 1st?
Well, I guess the reasoning is the October 1st. The semester is in full gear, and everyone knows what courses they'll be taking that semester.
I get it. So it's mainly for people who decide to withdraw from... to change to new courses early on.
Exactly! The book has to be in perfect condition, of course. They can't be marked up or looked use in any way for the full refund. I mean...
Well, but, see, my situation is a little different. I hope you might be able to make an exception.
Well, the policies are generally pretty rigid and the semester is almost over.
Okay, here's what happened. I think my professor really miscalculated. Anyway, the syllabus was way too ambitious in my opinion. There are only 2 weeks of classes left in the semester, and there are like 6 books on the syllabus that we haven't even touched.
I see. So you were hoping to return this one?
Yeah. The professor already announced that we won't be reading this one by Jane Bowles and all the others I bought used.
Jane Bowles? Which book of hers?
It's called Two Serious Ladies.
Oh, but you should keep that one. Are you interested in literature?
Well, I am an English major.
You are lucky to have a professor who includes a lesser-known writer like her on the syllabus. You know, not the usual authors we've all read.
So you really think...
I do. And especially if you're into literature.
Well, this I wasn't expecting. I mean, wow!
I hope you don't think I'm being pushy. If you prefer, you can return the book and arrange for a store credit. You don't qualify for a refund. Policy is policy after all, but you can make an exchange and you can use the credit for your books for next semester. The credit carries over for one semester to the next.
That's good to know, but now I'm really interested. I guess that just because we ran out of time to read this book in class doesn't mean that I can't read it in my own time. You know, I think I'll give it a try.
Questions 17. Where does the conversation take place?
18. Who is the man?
19. Which statement is true as for the policy for a full refund?
20. Which statement is true according to the conversation?